This is the State of Things. I'm Frank Stacio. The year is 1904. 25-year-old Albert Einstein on the eve of publishing his groundbreaking theory of relativity. 23-year-old Pablo Picasso will soon paint his breakthrough Les Demoiselles d'Avignon at the places the La Panagile, a famous cabaret in Paris. And it is the setting for Steve Martin's play Picasso at the La Panagile. Martin imagines a meeting between Einstein and Picasso one evening at that Paris tavern. They engage in witty conversations about time, space, creativity, and what the coming century has in store. And they're joined by a mix of local folks who are only too happy to throw in their two francs. The play has been well received by critics since its release, and it's in production now at the Arts Center in Carrboro. Joining me today in the studio, Jerry Lynn Schulke, director of the Carrboro Arts Center production of Picasso at the La Panagile, and actor Lucius Robinson, who plays Albert Einstein. Adam Sampieri plays Pablo Picasso. Welcome, all of you. Good to have you here.
Thank you.
Thanks for having me.
So here we have a play, Steve Martin imagining these characters. But Jerry Lynn, and I'm going to ask you too, Adam and Lucius, the problem, it seems to me, for Martin was they have persona. We know who these people are, but he's imagining the situation. So for a director, what kind of challenges does that create?
Surprisingly, not that challenging if you cast correctly. Uh-huh. I was looking more for the essence of people rather than like say, oh, they look like this person. I know these two guys fairly well and know what their essence is as actors and as people. So, you know, part of directing is if you cast well, the job is halfway done for you, if not more. So I think these guys are well cast in those respective roles, and they bring the essence of the characters.
And yet, Lucius, you look exactly like Albert Einstein. It is amazing how the resemblance. Did you feel like you needed to know about the theory of relativity and who Einstein was as a real guy, and then figure out what Steve Martin had in mind, which was a fictional encounter?
Well, as I've been telling some people after the shows, I originally was playing a completely different role up until the night before we opened. I spent the afternoon and the day prior working on the lines and trying to find a good fake mustache. That was sort of where most of my efforts went. The most work I've done thus far, I've done a little bit of research on him post, but I was mostly worried about my hair color, actually.
Which is black.
Which is, yeah, well.
And now you've kind of musted up, but you're pretty well groomed in this.
Yeah, well, actually, opening night, I used a spray, something you might buy at Party City, and I got up on stage, and I realized I was nervous because it was the first time I'd ever done it before, and I started to sweat and actually started to bleed down my face, so I spent much of the first show wiping my face down with napkins.
Tammy Faye Baker.
I have to say, we were there Saturday night, saw the performance, and Jerry Lynn, you sort of made the announcement that we had to make these quick changes. Mm-hmm. It was remarkable. Mm-hmm. I'm sitting there thinking, well, wait a minute, if you just learned that role, which was the lead, from the role of Elvis, which was a smaller, by the way, marvelously played by Jay Oberski, who then filled in, and he was on book that night, meaning he's kind of running around with a script in his hand, although made it, I mean, that was pretty good. All of that performance was great anyway, and then in light of that news, was very cool.
Yeah.
Great performance, a lot of fun. And Adam, now, what about you? Picasso, you have plenty of time, no excuses. Did you?
Yes, well, clearly I wasted 4 weeks rehearsing the role, apparently. What a terrific opportunity, and I think for me, your point is well taken. These are big figures. These are people we know. But do we know them on the personal level that we get to see them in this show? And I don't think we do. And so that gives us a chance to really wonder and needle at what might actually be going on underneath that. For me, it's a play about someone who's trying to find the moment, something that we all, I think, struggle with, which is we're all artists in some form or another. Not all of us, get the special theory of relativity or La Demoiselle d'Avignon, but we're all searching for that moment, and he happens to hit on it, and he finds his moment in the show, and that was an easy place to start from.
Well, and he talks about this unique moment in human history when we become essentially as a species much more forward-looking, and even there's a line in the play about I draw my identity now from the future, not like other artists who look to the past. Mm-hmm. And in this moment, too, where Albert Einstein is now adjusting our whole idea about our relationship with time, time and space. And yet, because it's Steve Martin writing this thing, minute you get that heavy, he tosses an asteroid into the middle of the thing and it just goes crazy.
And thank goodness for that, right? Yes. I mean, I don't want to be too bogged down in a theory or an idea. It's much more fun to absorb ideas if you're laughing, in my opinion, and easier.
And that, so the cast of characters around them, they're a lot of fun. We've got the barmaid and the bar owner and then a guy who hangs out at the bar. all of them who increasingly, do you feel this? Because it came through a little bit in the play, who start out as kind of stock figures, but they come into their own, and their own genius then kind of shines through at the end of this, which is something that Steve Martin, I think, was trying to get at.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, each person, I think, has their moment of genius for whatever that is. For them,
inside,
and what it is, and certainly one of the things I love, particularly we were talking about this outside, is that Picasso, for all that he is forward and living outside his body and huge, he constantly gets undercut by folks who are, you know, whether it be women, whether it be Einstein, which we'll hear when we do one of the pieces, but he's constantly getting.
Yeah,
would you do that now? Would you do a scene for us?
Sure, sure. Happy to. Before me, artists used to get ideas from the past, but as of this moment, they are coming from the future, fast and loose.
Absolutely, from the future.
I think in the moment of pencil to paper, the future is mapped out in the face of the person drawn. Imagine that the pencil is pushed hard enough and the lead goes through the paper into another dimension.
Yes.
A kind of fourth dimension, if that's what you want to call it.
I can't believe you're saying there's a fourth dimension.
And the fourth dimension is the future.
Wrong.
The pencil pokes into the future and sucks up ideas and transfers them to paper, for Christ's sakes. And what the hell would you know about it anyway? You're a scientist. You just want theories.
Well, yes, and like you, the theories must be beautiful. Do you know why the sun doesn't revolve around the earth? Because the idea is not, it isn't beautiful enough. If you're trying to prove that the sun revolves around the earth in order to make the theory fit the facts, you have to have the planets moving backwards and the sun doing loop-de-loops. It's way ugly. It's too ugly.
So you're saying you bring a beautiful idea into being?
Yes, we create a system and see if the facts can fit it.
So you're not just describing the world as it is?
No, we are creating new ways of looking at the world.
So you're saying you dream the impossible and put it into effect?
Exactly!
Brother!
Adam Sampieri and Lucius Robinson as Pablo Picasso and Albert Einstein in the Art Center's production of Picasso at the Le Pan Agile. As you produce this play, as you play, put this on every night, do you get a sense of what Steve Martin was going for? What all? I mean, he's not really getting at the theory of relativity here. He's talking about something deeper about creativity. Mm-hmm. Anything?
Mm-hmm.
That's a good question. Some nights maybe more than others. I think that we touch that a little bit more closely. But again, I think it's simply a question of creativity, of where does this come from? Where does these are two guys who are keyed up, are excited, are energetic and constantly bad. And that's one thing Jerry Lynn wanted us to have a sense of, is constantly throwing ideas out and seeing what sticks. And the line that it comes home to is just a simple line, which is, my God, when at the end of the play, when the roof leaves and suddenly we're standing in the stars and we can see our future. And that moment of just, boy, was it luck? Picasso seems to think in some ways that it is, and not to tell anybody at all that we don't know, that we just can't help it.
What are some of the other ideas that you think Martin's throwing at this play?
Well, I think the nature of inspiration is a huge one. And, you know, I read Steve Martin's autobiography about his stand-up years, Born Standing Up, prior to going into rehearsal, which was great. And I think he also, as an artist, kind of is grappling with this idea of how are you inspired and how do you take all of the things that you're working on and at the same time just let the path follow that path. And you know, he learned the banjo, he learned magic tricks, and he didn't know where that was going to lead him in his stand-up routine. And we all know where it led him ultimately, but he didn't know where that was going to take him. And I think this parallel to both Einstein and Pablo Picasso, in that they had a vision that they were unrelenting with. And if they had obstacles in their path, they stayed on their course. And they were both like daydreamers. They were hard workers, but they also took that time to just daydream and let the ideas come to them, which I think is also a hugely important with inspiration and creativity.
Well, and express it. I mean, that's the other thing. It's one thing to have a crazy idea, but then to say, and I'm going to risk my reputation by putting this thing on canvas or on paper and have the scientific and artistic community judge me for this thing they've never seen before becomes kind of another a moment of courage. Yeah. Will you do another scene for us?
Sure.
Happily.
I work the same way. I make beautiful things with a pencil.
You. You're just a scientist. For me, the shortest distance between two points is not a straight line.
Likewise.
Let's see one of your creations. Draw one.
Done. Ah, it's perfect.
Thank you.
I was talking about mine.
It's a formula.
So is yours.
It was a little hastily drawn. Yours is letters.
Yours is lines.
My lines mean something.
So do mine.
Mine is beautiful.
Men have swooned on seeing that.
Mine touches the heart.
Mine touches the head.
Mine will change the future.
Oh, and mine won't?
Maybe you're fake.
Maybe you're an idiot savant. Hold the savant.
Adam Sampieri, Lucius Robinson, who are in the Arts Center production of Picasso at the La Panagile. There are moments in this play, as we talked about the fact that Martin, Steve Martin never lets it get too heavy, you know, and so in the writing of this thing, and there are moments when you see Steve Martin. I mean, you can imagine him sort of delivering that line. And he breaks the fourth wall. There are these moments where we're talking directly. Then he comes back. Is that difficult for – I'll go around the table, but I'll start with you, Jerry Lynn. Mm-hmm. When a writer does this, they break the fourth wall, they talk directly to the audience, they subvert the whole concept of playwriting in a moment. Mm-hmm. Then you have to bring it back and get control of this thing. Is that a challenge in this?
You know, it actually wasn't. I thought it was really fun. I thought the idea of bringing the audience in as part of the actual production was actually a design concept from the very beginning. I talked to all the designers about that, in that the bar actually comes out into the audience. We have a sign for the bar, street lamp out in the audience. So it's part of the whole design concept, which I think it wasn't challenging in that it was hard, but it was just challenging in that, hey, how can we make this new and different and not just your standard play?
What about that, Adam? That
as an actor, it's fantastic. It's a great opportunity. I think we're all clawing at the wall sometimes to get out with folks. And so for me, it's just another thing to do, slipping in and out of it. When you create that world, it's easy to come in and out of it. I will say that it's also easy to do it with the cast that we have. What Lucius has done is amazing in this production and in the 24 hours of learning this role. But for everybody, being professional and being able to make that incorporate and make it work, if we can do that, certainly slipping in and out of that, it's a wonderful thing to be able to do and to be able to get close to the audience and come back away from that. So.
Absolutely. I think my experience with moments like that in plays, well, it's been that the play is sort of about those moments and that it is a play about breaking the fourth wall. And what I like about these moments in this particular show, how I see their function is that they force the audience to keep listening. And I think it's sort of a reminder that you're going to receive information from a variety of different sources and in a variety of different ways. Mm-hmm. So I think they keep me on my toes, and I hope they keep the audience on theirs.
And it also provokes philosophical thought. I mean, you can't see this play, even though it's funny, and it's not a heavy kind of philosophical thing. You begin to think about the nature of time and creativity and all these things. Has that changed you? I mean, do you have these kind of discussions between scenes after the show? And does it bring you to that kind of?
We had an excellent salon, actually, on Friday night after the show. We all ended out at a local place afterwards and stayed there talking until very late in the evening about any number of things. Actually, we got off the show very quickly talking about the show and started talking about all sorts of things.
And does it change your approach to acting? I mean, have you thought about it? Because this is essentially about creativity and sort of where is it? I mean, it's fascinating that these two icons in Western art and Western science have brought you to this Eastern notion of Zen and let it flow. I mean, what happens when these two guys meet.
Right.
But that might just make you think differently about your whole profession. Or not.
I think it solidifies it for me. I don't think it's anything new necessarily. As an artist, I think you're always looking for those moments and always looking for you know, striving for that inspiration. So I don't think it's a new thought for me, but I think it's just verifying it to say it's not only in the arts, but it's in science that these things also happen, these moments of inspiration and creativity.
Yeah.
It's a kick in the pants, too. It is. Really. Get you going.
It's fun to do. Now, Jerry Lynn, you have made your reputation in this area as a fine actress. Now you're directing. How do you like it?
I love it. I really do. It's a new area for me, and I was nervous going into it, especially this, my first really full production with the design team, having to have a design idea, walking in, and an idea of the play. This is a nice play to start on. And like I said, it's all in the casting, and if I cast well, then it's easy peasy for me from there on out.
Big adjustment for you? Different part of your brain ache when you're done with this?
Yes. I had a long talk, actually, on the phone with Emily Rainey, who is my predecessor in this position, about how to let a production go after it actually opens. Because as an actress, you know, you're still working on the show. You're in the production, but as a director, your job is done once the show opens, and how to just let them be and do their job as actors and the stage manager and design team, and not meddle and let it go emotionally. I think she said that's why directors leave town a lot when the show opens.
Okay, now turn your head, Jerry. Is she doing that? Is she letting you alone, guys?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. It's been wonderful. Just let us create. Which is wonderful.
It's a great show, and I want to thank you all for being on the program today. Mm-hmm. Jerry Lynn Schilke, director of the play Picasso at the La Panna, Gilles, Lucas Robinson, and Adam Sampieri are the stars in the production. Picasso at the La Panna, Gilles runs at the Carborough Arts Center this Friday through Sunday. For more information, artscenterlive.org. If you want to have more information about our show, you go to stateofthings.org. You can also check us out on Facebook. Our program is produced by Amber Nimix. Alex Granados is a producer as well. Bill Kumpf and Nasser Abbas are interns. Robin Copley is the technical director. Our managing editor is Lindsay Foster Thomas. And Susan Davis is our senior producer. This is North Carolina Public Radio. It's a broadcast service of the University of North Carolina, Chapel Hill. I'm Frank Stachow.